I feel like we should give some people context as to how we know each other and how we met.
Well, it was a dark and dusky club. You were in mostly, the corner from memory, wearing a Stetson. God.
Here we
and
go.
Just a Stetson. Yeah, and then shit got wild.
No, I mean, honestly, like, I've been a fan for a while, and maybe you heard a couple songs, and you've been coming to Nashville a lot, and that's where I live, and I actually knew your manager, Steve, before I knew you, and he probably just threw my name in or something, and, you know, I think we had one day booked, and then we ended up spending, like, 3 days
that's
writing,
right, yeah.
like, 6 songs, and drinking a lot and having fun. So ever since then, I felt just kindred to you, brother.
Hey, the feeling's mutual. The feeling's mutual, honestly. It was great because you never know what it's like. I never know what it's like going into these sessions, you know. And I don't really do that many, really, unless it's like I say, you know, it's Steve, my manager, was like, honestly, right with Devin. And he sent me the cover that you did of She Burns.
That's right.
So I already kind of knew of you. And because he had said, I was there to write anyway, and he had said, you know, like, you'll definitely love Devin. And that was a killer few days, man. Some of those songs are still with me. The regular.
I know, dude.
The regular.
I was singing it this morning a little bit.
Me too. Me too, I guess. That's the bit.
Oh, everybody's looking for a place like home. It's a vibe. I know.
That's the bit. That's the, interestingly, the bit that I sing on repeat. Anytime that song comes in my head. It's beautiful, man. Yeah, I love that. There was a couple of killer ones.
The world
about Johnny
here.
Cash. I'll never be as cool as Cash.
So many. We're teasing these people right now, dude. Where are you, by the way?
I'm in Scotland now.
Oh, crap, man. Can I cuss on this?
Yeah, you can say whatever you like.
Okay, I'm going to
say
shit.
The fuck we'll start
you with want. We'll start with shit and see where it goes. Yeah, dude. So I'm in Nashville and, you know, it's pretty much, I feel like everyone's kind of living the same life or the same day right now. Like, I think we can all relate a lot. But I think maybe people are getting forgetful that we're still, you know, in the middle or in somewhere in the middle of a pandemic, and maybe starting to just live like they normally would and forget because of other things that are going on in the world. And so trying to remind myself, you know, not to be an idiot about it, but also just finding my slider of quality of life, and like, I want to see my brother. Like, I want to go, like, I'm going to hang with my brother. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain like things that I'm just trying to justify and, but also still be pretty, try to be disciplined about it. But, dude, I mean, I'm doing better than I deserve. There's so many people that are in worse places than us right now. So I'm super thankful for that.
Yeah, right.
I don't have shit to complain about in reality, you know?
It felt a bit strange to be doing this podcast at all, actually. at the minute, I mean, I've been really looking forward to doing it because that's one of the things I've missed about being on the road, is kind of, you know, meeting up with new folks and, you know, new ideas, different songwriters, different styles, that, you know, just kind of getting to meet different folks and talk about, we just talk. I've really kind of missed that. So I was looking forward to doing this.
Yeah.
But it's funny that it's come about at a time like this where, you know, the world is just so kind of crazy. I mean, you couldn't write this shit. It's sort of like, it's kind of been like a global power cut, hasn't it? Do you ever remember when there's a power cut when you were a kid?
You're going to need to explain that to me.
A power cut.
Power cut. See, say it in Nashville terms. I don't know exactly what you mean.
Well, do you know when the power goes out?
Oh,
it's called a power cut.
That did the trick for me. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And you put the candles on.
So
and
a power
like,
cut, yeah.
And it's kind of cool at first, you know what I mean? And then it's like, all right, I'm ready to have heat back or whatever, you know?
Yeah, but also I think there's something that happens in that. Like, everyone's out in the street. Everyone's kind of talking again. Is your electric out? Mine too.
Right.
Apparently there's communication. And I think that with this sort of lockdown, it's kind of been like a global power cut in the sense that, you know, Like, for instance, you know, would the world be as aware of George Floyd or Breonna Taylor or Elijah McClain or you know, if it wasn't for us all being locked down and seeing this and, you know.
Or even just the emotions that are running higher now, you know, with, you know, everything that's good and bad is heightened, you know what I mean? And so,
yeah, that's what
you
I
know,
mean.
How would we have reacted if we weren't, like you said, just able to focus on it, I guess, if we were just kind of living our everyday life. In some way, it's kind of like even the playing field, like everyone is a human, everyone's going through this quarantine thing. But hopefully it's allowed us to step back and like get some clarity on ourselves and what we need to fix and whatever, you know what I mean?
Reassess and reemerge, right?
You yeah, know, hell yeah. Absolutely.
The weird thing about this podcast is really that it's pinned on food. It makes sense to be pinned around music, but at the Vinyl Supper, I don't know, it's kind of like Anderson East described it as like death row suppers, you know, like
yeah,
your death row meal.
Yeah, you're like, so.
Yeah, but this one in the Vinyl Supper, you get to have a meal, but you get to listen to a record as well.
Put a record on too, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the idea. Are you into are you a foodie? Like, do you like your food?
I am a huge foodie. Actually,
oh, good.
Before I moved to Nashville to like really dive into writing songs, I went to culinary school for a couple semesters, and like I'd always cooked with my grandma growing up and stuff, and I just love food. There's something super similar with writing songs and cooking. You're creating something to make somebody happy, hopefully, or feel something, right? Sharing it with them. What do you think? Do you like it? Whatever. Maybe we mix a little bit of this in next time. There's a lot of similarities there, but I realized for me very quickly that it was more of like a hobby for me than like my calling. Like I'm put here to write music and write words and sing and impose my will and share my side with everyone. And so it helped me realize that there's nothing else I was gonna do rather than that. One day I would love to open up a restaurant. I still cook every night, especially during quarantine. I love it, but it wasn't my like live and breathe, wake up, go to bed thing, you know.
Yeah. So. Oh, I hear you, because let's face it, if you wanna get anywhere in that world, that's what it is. I mean, our world's tough enough. You know, you got to work hard enough for us.
God, I can't imagine being a chef, dude. Like, that is a brutal life.
Yeah, like, brutal.
Ugh. But yeah, I mean, I appreciate it and I love it and I'm such a fan and such a foodie. And so this one, I mean, it's right up my alley, dude.
Well, that's great. So then, what do you have? What are you having for a starter?
My favorite type of food to eat, if I had a choice, would be Indian food. Just because there's so many different kinds and I feel like I would have a whole spread of curries and everything. But there's this classic dish called papadam. And it's essentially like really thin kind of onion crisps. And then there's three traditional sauces in it. I think one of them is kind of like a verde, like kind of green chili sauce. One of them is pickled onions. And then the other one, I don't even know what it is, but it's kind of like this sweet molasses kind of thing. But it's just a traditional like starter for Indian. And so I would start with that.
Like mango. Is that not mango chutney?
There's three traditional starters, and I'm going to sound a little bit ignorant to it, but it's all good. But I mean, I never
know what
even
you're talking about.
It's weird. Like, yeah, exactly. Like I never thought about like mixing everything up and what I would do and what kind of different things. Like I just went straight for Indian food, you know? So that's what I would start with, dude. You know, get the stomach warmed up, start getting it like expanded. Cause you know, I'm going to gorge myself on just a million curries, you know?
Well, do you know what? I would definitely go with that as a starter. I do like that as a starter, but I would have to have the lime pickle chutney.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
you know the real spicy one.
Yeah, see, I'm a huge spice guy.
Yeah, well, the lime pickle's the one, and maybe a couple of pakoras or onion bhajis or something like that with the red onions that they cut.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Those like pickled red onions. I've spent a good amount of time in like you know London and UK, as I'm sure you have as well, and there's like no place better to get Indian food than
India, I'd imagine.
Other than India.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's hard to know when to tell the truth and when not to sometimes. I was in class. I would have been about 14, maybe 15 years old. And it was careers class and the teacher was out of the class, interestingly. And we were all sitting there and I had drawn a piano on a piece of paper. and I was playing, pretending to be sort of Jerry Lee Lewis for the class, mm-hmm. singing and shouting and whatnot, and a teacher came by. I'll not say his name, but a teacher came by, and he called me out, "Vance, out here." And I go out in the hallway, and he looks at me and he says, "Where do you think you are, boy?" And I thought, oh shit, I'm in school, but if I say school, that's going to sound cheeky, but right. What did I say? A gig? I don't know, sir. You don't know? You know, so I'm thinking, right, what did I say? So I thought, fuck it, you know what? I'll go with honesty. Everyone says that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, school, sir. He popped me in the chest, knocked me flying. Yeah, so you got to be careful with the truth.
What was he looking for?
What I don't know.
Come on, man. I hope he feels like a jackass now that he knows you're a freaking music star. Like, come on. Let the kid play, man.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. I don't know. Maybe he had a bad day. You know, he wasn't a bad teacher. It's probably why I don't want to say his name, because he wasn't all bad. I think maybe he felt bad after that. He did take me into the other room and let me have a couple of periods off drinking water because I felt dizzy.
It's so funny. You can't do that in these days now. No. I always remember Thank one God. Thing that sticks with me from one of my English teachers. I think it was in fourth grade. We were writing, it was like the first actual like report or paper I had to write, you know, and it was like something about like a salamander going extinct or something like that. And, you know, I was always creative, drawing and coloring and all that stuff since I was a kid. And I remember ending the paper with, will the salamander, you know, become extinct or will it? Whatever. Well, what will happen? Only time will tell. ... And I thought I was just the shit. I was like, I just like watermelon that out into the park, you know? And so the next day she's, you know, saying, you know, I got your papers. I graded them all. Some of you guys did really good. Some of you guys just kind of didn't hit the mark, you know? And she's like, you shouldn't end a report with only time will tell. And she was like calling me out, but didn't say my name, but I knew it was me because I wrote it. And she was like, you need to take a stance. You need to say what will happen. Like, that's the point of it. And so I did it completely wrong. But I just always, like, for some reason, there's a little things stick in your mind sometimes and they just don't leave. And like, I always think about like, how am I ending this song? Am I taking a stance or am I going to take the easy way out and just let somebody else figure it out or whatever? It's like, it's weird how
have you still got a wee Mrs. Fletcher in your shoulder going, that's a shit ending, dude.
Literally, like, don't do that. That's not how you do it. Don't take the easy way out. Like, take a stance and then you kill them off in the bridge and everything is fine, you know.
So here, what are you going to listen to then while you're eating these poppadoms and the chocolates?
So I wrestled with trying to think of something different than the first thing I thought of. And I think that's because I have a need to try to listen or try to be unique or whatever. But when I think of one record, I want to get the most out of one record. You know what I mean? And so one of the most influential artists that kind of turned me into a songwriter just from being a death metal, you know, headbanger was John Mayer. And, you know, in my age, in my, you know, generation, I think he's one of the most prolific artists. And I wonder, after this, I want to know how many people that you've talked to have chosen John Mayer. But he has this live album from L.A., from Nokia Theater in 2007. And it's called Where the Light Is. And I remember, you know, driving around with my first girlfriend, you know, smoking weed for the first time. Drinking, all these, there's certain, my first heartbreak, all these certain things, all these memories to that album. And obviously it's, I still listen to that album. As a band, when we were in a van before we like got a bus and started taking planes and stuff, we would do this thing that if it was a weekend run or if it was a 5-day run, the second that we turned back home, we would turn that album on and just play it from beginning to end. It was the sign of like, we just crushed that weekend. And it might be a 12-hour drive back, but, you know, you're probably going to be asleep by the time the 10th song hits. But, like, it is the sign of coming home, you know? And I think when I think of trying to get the most, this is the last album, this is the last playthrough I'm going to listen to, you know, before I die. Like, the cool thing about it is that it's a very long album. It's like, you know, 3 CDs or whatever it is. So I'm going to get the most bang for my buck. You know, I'm going to drag out that process. And, he starts with an acoustic set and then he goes into a trio kind of blues set. And then he finishes full band with a lot of his hits from Continuum at the time. And so you get a little bit of everything, and sometimes you're like, what album do I want to listen to? Do I want to listen to groove? Do I want to listen to melody? Do I want to listen to lyrics? Do I want to listen to performance? And to me, that album has everything. You know, you have the acoustic lyrics, you have the groove of the blues and the full band, then you have the melodies, and you have that. It's literally a live performance set in stone, and that's the only time it ever could have. And there's just something, it just kind of checks all the boxes for me. I've listened to that album so many times. That's the one, man. I couldn't not choose that one, you know?
Yeah, and I love Continuum, and Room for Squares, I think, was the first one I ever heard years ago. And similarly, I'd bought my first house when I heard that record. And so John's an incredible musician, you know. He's,
man, I mean, you think like about,
you say, he's kind of got the whole package, right?
Yeah, he does it all himself too, which is even crazier to me. It's like, yeah. I think a lot of us, especially in Nashville, we do a lot of co-writing. You know, I'm a very big lyric guy. Melodies, I have to make sure I'm thinking about them. They don't necessarily come to me supernaturally sometimes. You know, sometimes they do, but it's just interesting to think about doing all of this by yourself. You know, production, performance, lyrics, melody, ideas, whatever. Like, thinking about something different that, you know, nobody's heard before, but everyone can relate to. And he's just a beast, man. He's just a freaking beast.
Well, there you go. You know what? You just picked a beast of a record. But the thing is, you actually get to listen to a song per course. But we can do, you can have like an album per course if you like, because it's, you know, we're on death row, man. This, the world's about to end. We're about to get hit by an asteroid here, and we're going to eat what we want and listen to what we want. So, well, what are you eating with the second disc then?
It's funny. Of course I would do this. Like, instead of choosing one different thing for each thing, I chose an overarching, you know, for each one, and then dive into it. I like to do this thing. Obviously, the stereotypical American white guy is going to choose chicken tikka masala, which I think is amazing. But what I do it differently. I like to get chicken tikka, which is essentially just grilled chicken without the sauce. But they grill it, they put it in like a yogurt marinade, and they, you know, put all the spices on it, and then they grill it with like onions and peppers, almost like Indian fajita style, with like some lemon on there, and then they top it with like cilantro. It's almost like a fajita, like, but with Indian spices. And then I get the masala sauce on the side so that I can divvy my own level of sauce. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to have the plain chicken if I want, and then I want to be able to dip it if I want. I want to be able to have the naan and all that, you know. So that's my, like, very specific, picky main course. I'm going to choose something different for dessert instead of Indian food, so I'm going to think on that.
Well, you know what? I'll definitely stay Indian with you for the main, because there is something about it. You know, food is about the communal experience, really, mm-hmm. isn't it, you know? And food like tapas is another one, you know, but Spanish. Indian dishes, when it comes out, you know, just dishes where there's lots of stuff to kind of choose from, and there's a little bit of stretch and, you know, stretch or starve going on at the table.
It's weird, the things that you justify spending money on, right? Sorry if my dogs are barking, but it's like, to me, I could spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a meal and experience this with people, you know? Like, to me, that's always going to be worth it. And so, like, that's why I love, like, kind of Indian food. It's like, let's all bring it out together, like you said, and just kind of dive in and talk and share and try new things and make it really spicy and start crying.
Yeah, but if you're paying thousands and thousands for your Indian takeaway, you're going to the wrong place. I know.
Yeah, maybe that wasn't right, but the shitty one probably tastes better anyways. I want to go all out, and I don't want you to have to do anything. Like, get out of the kitchen. You can't help me. Like, I'm very controlling. Like, I want to do this for you. like, I want to do this for you, and I want you to experience it and sit down and be served, you know what I mean? Because it's just, there's something about that process that I love.
Although, it sounds a bit like you're bullying them to sit down. Sit down, I'm going to serve you, goddammit.
Literally. I mean, honestly, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm very controlling in the kitchen. Like, hey, can I help you? Can I peel these potatoes? Like, if I let you peel these potatoes, there's going to be something that I would have done differently, and I'm going to be like, oh, you messed it up or whatever. So I just want you to go enjoy. Here's a drink. Here's a margarita. Here's a glass of scotch. Here's a beer, whatever. You go drink. You talk with your friends. I might throw an appetizer out here, and then just let me do my thing. I know everything has to be timed perfect. I'm very, like, OCD in the kitchen, and, like,
yeah.
I'm just, that's the way it is. So if you want to come enjoy some food, then get served, you know what I'm saying?
No, man, I felt like we met eyes on that with regards to songwriting, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's I noticed that we both sort of woke up anytime a song revealed itself and it was obvious, okay, tuck 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 tuck, there's the next, mm-hmm. there's the next stage, that lyric has unlocked everything.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it's a similar sort of control, isn't it? Like writing a song and cooking a meal.
Yeah, I'd much prefer. It's like sometimes you start with the verse in the very first line. Sometimes you start with the bridge. Sometimes it's the chorus, whatever. You don't know. But at the end, it all kind of times out together, and then you play it all. Like, to me, like, the most important thing about cooking and serving somebody is the timing of everything coming out at the same time. And it's the hardest part. Because you don't want, like, especially in breakfast, you cook your eggs last. You don't want your cold eggs to be cold and spongy by the time the toast and the bacon, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Only it's like, assholes eat cold
that's
eggs.
That's what I'm saying. Well, all these country artists in Nashville open these bars on Broadway. Like, you got Dierks Bentley and Jason Aldean and Blake Shelton and Luke Bryan and Alan Jackson and George Jones. All these people have bars down on Broadway. I want a breakfast place on Broadway so that when you're hungover from all these bars you went to last night, you come see me in the morning or late night or whatever, and I'll fix your problems for you. You know what I'm saying?
Bloody, like, Marys.
Yeah,
Bloody Marys,
all of it.
Bloody Marys and quesadillas.
Yes, let's go, man. Like, I'm all about it. Like, that's definitely a dream of mine one day once I get my rocks out. I don't know if that'll ever happen. I don't think I'll ever be satisfied with music. I'll always want more. I'll always want to create more, but it might be a nice little side project or something. You know what I'm saying?
Or it's easy to sometimes know what you want in the moment, but, like, shit changes, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Especially in music. It's like some people ends up, you know, you end up as an artist, and then all of a sudden you're a producer, and that's what you're known for. It's like, that's just, I don't know. It's just got to go with the flow, you know?
I never expected to co-write with anybody ever. That's, I only started co-writing in my 40s or whatever it was.
No,
late 30s, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, that's the hard thing when you're writing for other people and you're like, I don't know, man. And they're like, I like it. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. And also, but also you gotta allow, I find that you gotta allow for things to go whatever direction.
Where they want.
Come back and let it come back around and just let it play out. You know, the amount of times I've thought, I'm pretty sure that's not right, but I'm not gonna say anything for a while. And then, you know, it's just turned around. They've gone, maybe not, you know. Anyway, so my main course, I might have a Gelfrezi, actually, because your missus, you say she likes a Gelfrezi. I like a Gelfrezi as well. But I like to get a chicken tikka Gelfrezi, you know, so it's like the charred chicken.
Yes, that's, I need it, dude.
And when I get that from the place down the road, Chili's down the road, I always get it foul hot.
Oh, yeah, me too. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foul all the way.
It felt like you needed to come up with your fucking sonata, your fucking all-time thing. You had this kind of pressure, and it was like, for me, like, I think the reason that I wasn't inspired in the beginning is because there wasn't really an end game. Like, there was no parameters, there was no reason, you know, other than, like, if you have all day to do something, like, you're probably not going to do it till the end or something. It's like, you know, deadlines and guidelines and all that kind of help us as creators to, like, force ourselves to finish something so we aren't just in the middle of the process the whole time. And it took me a second to find my flow again, or just how I like to get creative and where I need to go. And I kind of built this little studio in the third floor of my house, and it's kind of my escape. And I figured out a way to stay inspired and get work done. But in the beginning, it was just like, really want to. Like, I don't feel the, like, I feel like I should, but I don't feel the act that, that, like, you know, that feeling, that trance that you get. Like, I get that feeling when I'm inspired and I'm like, oh, here we go. It's coming. Mm-hmm. Like, get the guitar quick. You know what I mean? And I didn't have that for a while until I found my new kind of what that looked like, you know? And even then, it's a lot slower and it's a lot different than writing from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day like we do in Nashville. Yeah. So just about finding.
And you're writing, on your own full time, obviously. So that's obvious, you know.
Yeah, I've tried to do a couple Zoom things, and you know, I've gotten some cool things there, but it just gets a little aggravating dealing, you know, being at the mercy of technology and where's the one of the beat and how do I sing with somebody in the same time? And it, eventually it's just like more of bouncing ideas off somebody and then I just need to take it and go do it. You know, like we might get two lines that I'm like, that's the hook. Let me do everything else, please. It's like somebody needs to take the reins at some point when it comes to virtual writing. So yeah, it's forced me to write a lot more by myself, which I don't get to do a lot, so it's been good.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're writing, man.
Are you?
Well, here, yeah, I am, actually. I am. I'm finishing off an album. It's kind of, it's one of those albums that's been rolling on now for too long, Steve would say.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then a song comes, you know what I mean? Every few months a song comes, and then that sort of nullifies a couple of other songs somehow.
Kicks them off the table.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then it starts to... And I'm in no... You know what I mean? I'm in no rush. It's not like that, you know... It's not like there's a...
I don't think anyone's in a rush right now. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, no one's waiting on this next record, really. And they're certainly not waiting on it unless it's right. I'm just going to take my time.
Yeah.
But I feel close, actually. I do feel close, you know. I feel like the key songs are there. I just feel like there's one or two missing. And with regards to a couple of songs, just the versions of them, you know, I just need
to re-look
at it or whatever.
It's a good place to be, though.
Yeah, yeah, it's all right. I'm gonna be doing that for the next couple of weeks, actually, as of now in this house. Something that came up when we were writing, like synesthesia. We chatted about it, synesthesia, and that's very real for you, right?
100%. Yeah, technically synesthesia is the connection of two senses. Mostly for me, I mean, it's being able to hear color or perceive harmony as color to me. But anyone can see shapes when they see people. It's like, it's the technical definition. It was just two connections of senses. And it's great because it helps me understand theory. Like when I was learning theory, I would say like, oh, like, you know, like this is a minor seven. And it feels like something to me. And then it's a suspended five. Like it feels like something. It's like a spectrum,
what color were those chords out of interest? To me, they were like orangey.
No, not at all. They were blue and purple.
Were they blue and purple?
Yeah, orangey is like... Like, orangey is more happy and green, like
that
blue
sounds
and
orangey.
Purple.
I love that this is what we're talking about. I love that we're in a global pandemic. This is what we're fucking talking about.
I'm just going crazy, dude.
No, D is more orange, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And honestly, it's for me, it's not necessary. Like, it doesn't work if it's one note. Like, it has to be two notes together. It has to be the relationship of the notes that makes me feel a certain way. Like, if it was just a one bass note, it probably wouldn't do anything. It's like, the best way I can describe it for music people out there is, you know, when you're tuning and you use a tuner and... You know, the farther away from the note, it's going quicker, quicker, quicker. And then when you get closer to the note, it kind of slows down and gets like that. That's what it is. It's almost like a spectrum of like two colors or one color or two versions of one color. I don't know. It's really hard to put it into words. And yeah. I know there's other people out there with it and they understand it. And maybe it's different. It's like, is the orange I see the same orange you see? I don't know. But what it does is it helps me match emotions to words, and it helps me know when things are right to me. But the hard part of that is, you know, when I'm co-writing and somebody else thinks something else is right and they want this chord, and I'm like, no, dog, like, that is the wrong color. Like, it needs to be this chord. Like, yeah. And I just can't hear it any other way. So if I ain't getting my way, then I'm just going to give up on it because I cannot do it unless it's right for me, you know?
Well, this is what was cool in those sessions, man. I felt like anytime it came to a bit that was contentious, we both felt this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
And when the right bit came, we both felt instantly. You know, yeah, that it's always good when it flows like that, isn't it? Because there's nothing worse than going, you know, you've moved on from a bit, and you keep wanting to say, look, can we go back and check? Because this is not. We're going.
Somebody said, I don't know who said it, but like, if it bothers you the day of, it's never not gonna bother you. If you're gonna walk out of the room and something is bothering you, it's never gonna be okay the next day. Like, you're not gonna be like, yeah, it's good enough. Like, no. If you get down the line and somebody cuts it or you cut it, and it's like, it's still gonna bother you. So like, speak up. It's your job as an artist or a songwriter. Like, I hear this, and to me, this isn't right. Like, it's all about decisions. So speak up about it and, you know, figure out.
Yeah, how definitely.
What's the Indian dessert? Like, I know I'm going to choose something different, but I know they do like the banana pudding kind of thing.
Yeah. Or... Do you know what? I've never been big on, on with desserts. It's kind of, I never really eat dessert if I'm at a restaurant. I would rather
they
go
do
all
that.
The
they
stuff.
Do that tea as well. That like the orange, like the Thai tea the sort of thing.
Chai, yeah, the chai tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the cardamom, cinnamon, like milky. That one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's nice.
I'm not a huge sweets guy either. Up until recently, I just have despised chocolate. Like, I just. There's something about it like that just sticks around and I don't like it. Like if I'm gonna eat sweets, I like tart sweets, like a lemon square or like a pineapple upside down cake or like key lime pie is my ultimate. Yeah. And that's what I'm choosing, by the way, key lime pie.
Who doesn't like key lime pie?
It's just insane. And so like I'm with you on that, and I think we're super similar on the way that we like the spice and the savory, but I'm just not a huge, like, apple pie. I mean, that's better because it's kind of tight or tart, but there's, you know, chocolates or, like, those kind of things. I mean, I'll try it, but, like, I'm not a huge sweets guy, man. Like, I'm not a huge brownies guy. I'm not a huge ice cream guy. Like, I want key lime pie. Like, that's my choice. That's what, I'm sticking to it. I know it's not Indian, but we're making a left turn at the end because we're allowed
to. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Listen, you can eat whatever you want.
That's right. It's my final supper, dog. Come on.
Yeah. Just have at it. Have whatever you like. You know what? I would have... my mom used to make this coconut cream pie, which is pretty much... It was pretty much just like a lemon meringue in every sense. Although instead of it being lemon, it was just coconut.
Coconut, yeah.
Oh, that would... anything coconut, actually.
That would go well with Indian, too, at the end. You know, it kind of would cool you down. You know what I mean?
And the coconut would go well with lime. You know, you could put the lime in the coconut and you could eat them
both
or drink them both.
It's like we've done this before, man.
Do you know what? Hell yeah. Okay, so like, so my main course, I was having the chicken tikka jalfrezi, foul hot, with the right end, maybe a couple of other sides that we'll not get into now. It's too late. And I would listen to Long Distance Love by Little Feet. And for dessert with the coconut pie, while you're having your key lime pie, I would listen to Harry Nilsson. Put the lime in the coconut.
Let's go, dude.
I could go to that. That would be a happy send off, really.
Yeah, it's like, that's the thing. Do you want to be let down easy, or do you want to go, you know, go into it smiling at the end? I think at least for us, seems like that'd be a good way to go.
Hell yeah, just the absurdity of the whole thing.
I know, right? It's kind of like left footed. It's like, this is what he wants for his song. This is the last song he's gonna go into the nether with. Put the lime in the coconut. Oh, I love it, man. I freaking love it, dude.